Welcome to the Authentic Persuasion Show, a place where business and thought leaders come to weigh in on important sales-related topics that you can use in your sales career and life. I'm your host, Jason Cutter. My mission is to get your help in changing sales from something prospects fear to an act of service they actually seek out and appreciate. Whether you're in sales, leading sales teams, or own a business, I hope this helps you improve your selling effectiveness and you can go out into the world as an authentic persuader. Hey there, in this episode of the Authentic Persuasion Show, you are going to listen to a replay of the Authentic Persuasion training sessions that are live each week. So in this replay, I'm taking that session, having it here so that you can listen to it, take notes, replay it, digest it, and then put these things into action. If you'd like, make sure to set your calendars for Fridays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, so that you can tune in live. If you want to register and sign up for free, make sure to go to jasoncutter.com, and there's a link on there. Or you can email me, jason@cutterconsultinggroup.com as well, and I can get you the information for signing up. All right, hope you have your notepad ready to go. Let's dive into this replay of the Authentic Persuasion training session. Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Authentic Persuasion Weekly Live Training. This is session number 12. And as you can tell, this is pre-recorded once again. It's very interesting as I set this up technically 12 weeks ago and decided to do these on Fridays. And then the things that I have scheduled on Fridays that I don't want to deter me from giving this training, putting this out there, providing this value. The part I'm going to miss this week, especially after last week, so much engagement, so many chats, questions, things that came up, I'm definitely going to miss that part of this. But this should be the last one for a while where I'm not going to be available on a Friday, hopefully. The big thing that's kind of fun for me is that if I'm not here recording the session, it's usually either I'm at a conference, I'm speaking, or I'm actually off the grid, which I am once again on a short 2-day vacation break. Not a very long one, but it's kind of fun to take these adventures and mix these in and doing these kind of things. So hopefully you enjoy this. Hopefully this is still valuable. Even if it's not live, even if you're not interacting, make sure though, as you're watching this, no matter where you see this, this could be on LinkedIn as a replay, YouTube as a replay. It could be on Facebook as a replay. It could be on the podcast as audio only. But if you're seeing it on social media, Facebook, LinkedIn, or YouTube, please put a comment. Please say hello. Please ask a question. Share insights based on what I talk about here. Put in your feedback. Put in your ideas because other people will see that. I also see it. So when I return and I check this out and check out the feed, I want to see those comments because I love that interaction. And I want to know that this has value. I want to know that either you disagree and maybe, you know, that you don't agree with what I said, or you agree and you do see it's valuable, or you're going to put it in place, or you have done something similar and it has worked. I love that. Nothing more, as I say in my mission, which is to facilitate transformation through encouraging and enabling those light bulb moments. That's what I want. That's what I love most. Last week, as I'd mentioned on Friday's episode, I spent 2 days in the classroom training a bunch of people who are working on getting into the food truck business. So fun to be back in person in front of people and watching those light bulbs go off, watching the questions come up, engaging with it, overcoming kind of like the mindset shift. So fun. Also, other parts of my mission is to help the underdog win their game, which is the key. If you are watching this and you're in sales, or you should be selling, or you should be selling more, or anything part of your life involves sales, which again, remember, everything in life is sales, then the key is if you are wanting to achieve more, and it doesn't just come natural and easy for you, then in my mind, you're an underdog in the sales game. I want to help you win. And furthermore, I want to help you win in a way that's not just doing it the way it's always been done, the classic sales strategies, the classic manipulation and pushy techniques, the things that have been done or people think is sales. Obviously, I want you to play a different game. I want you to play your game. I want you to be authentic. Thus, the title of this and the book, Selling with Authentic Persuasion, because I want it to be about you doing what's right for you and then being authentic for your customers. And then the third part of my mission is to leave people better than I found them, which is why I'm doing this and why I'm putting that out there. So please make sure to leave comments in there. Please like this. Please share this, whatever social media platform, just hit share, send it out there. And then also if you're on different platforms, make sure you turn notifications on so you get these kind of things as they happen live. If you're watching this on social media, again, reminder, it is also replayed on the podcast, The Authentic Persuasion Show. By Monday, the following week, the episodes are live on there. So you can then download them, listen to the audio only version, take notes, listen to it a second time, absorb it. If you're like me, listen to it at like 1.5 speed and then just like have it just get in there deeper, deeper. Repetition is so important. Just keep taking this information in and make it a part of what you're doing for your sales part. That's the key. All right. So last week, what did I cover? Well, the big thing in week 11, and if you didn't check it out, make sure to check it out, is that prescription before diagnosis is malpractice. Now, funny, I think about it. Last week, I got so excited when I first started talking about it. I was looking at some of the bullet point notes I had and I said it backwards, but prescription before diagnosis is malpractice. And what does that mean? Well, if you jump into telling somebody how you can help them, what's involved, what the price is, or any of those details, and you give them that prescription before you have done a full diagnosis, before you know how you can help them, before you understand fully what their situation is, and then how your tool, your service, your product, whatever it is, how that actually will help them get to a better place, right, for themselves, they achieve a goal, get out of pain, whatever that looks like. If you haven't done that, then that is malpractice. Just like a doctor who, if you walk in and you tell them what's wrong and they just immediately give you a prescription or send you on your way for something, that is malpractice if they haven't done their due diligence. And it takes some confidence. It takes some strength and some will power to put down or push off those, questions and inquiries from people who are in the buying mode or in the buying process, mostly because they're worried about it. I'm going to actually talk about that in a few weeks, where I'm going to talk about why objections come up and why those things happen. But what you want to do is push those off. Someone says, hey, what's the fee? What's the process? What's the contract? What are the terms? What are the fill in the blank? And you're not ready to talk about what it is that you sell in all the complete detail and tell them how it works or how much it costs. Don't tell them. Stay strong. Watch the week 11. I talked about what to say, how to overcome that, what to focus on, and how to keep it moving forward. So it doesn't sound like you're avoiding it, because that's one of the big things is we've all seen salespeople. I'm going to say classic salespeople, where, you know, they get a question, they get an objection, and they don't want to answer it. Instead, what they want to do is dance around it, push it aside, hopefully get someone to forget about that question or ignore it. And then they want to sidestep and move over. So it's like judo. It's right. Somebody's coming at you. Instead of confronting them, move out of the way, let them go past you, and then do what you wanted to do anyway. A lot of salespeople practice that judo when it's dealing with objections or questions. And that's partially what you want to do here, because you don't want to answer it, but you also don't want to just ignore it, because then people will not be able to mentally move on and they won't listen to you. So that's so important. All right. So I talked about avoiding sales malpractice. And then the other big thing that I talked a bit about was prejudging and assuming that you know. And prejudging usually happens because either you have had bad experiences trying to enroll someone in a certain group. And then now whenever you come across that person from that certain group, you feel like it's just not worth it and it's not going to happen. And I talked about some examples in that. The other part where prejudging comes in is that you may feel like you're so in love with your solution, so in love with your product or service, that you actually just assume everyone wants it. And so you prejudge that everyone should need it and everyone should be buying from you. And if they don't, it's on them. But you're just going to sell whatever it is that you have to everybody. And then what happens is you fall under the classic sales model of just telling and explaining and doing all that up front in order to, you know, just push how amazing you are onto somebody such that they're going to want to buy. And that doesn't work either, because you got to follow this process. The process, and we're going to actually jump into hope, right, is in this next part, is that You've got to make sure you follow this process and the authentic persuasion pathway. Again, if you want to see a visual of this, if you want to get an idea of what this looks like, I'm doing this just on video here, not doing a screen share. I don't want to do any slides on this for now. But if you want to see what the authentic persuasion pathway looks like and moving someone from the center of their comfort zone out of the hole that they have, the doorway, how do you move someone out? We started with rapport, then we went to empathy. Then we covered trust a couple of weeks ago. And then now we're going to talk about hope. If you want that visual, if you want to see that contextual model so you can visualize it and see what it is that you should be doing in your conversations, every conversation that you have with somebody, email me, jason@cutterconsultinggroup.com. Happy to send that to you so you can check that out and some information that I have to help you succeed in these conversations. Now, one of the big things before I jump into hope is that I had mentioned last week I was going to cover two big closes, two important closes, really fundamentally for me, the only two closes that matter. I know there's the trial close and there's this close and there's that close and there's all these other ones that you can use. There's really only two, in my opinion, that matter the most and that are necessary to focus on when we're talking about the authentic persuasion pathway and going down this route. And I know I was going to talk about them this week because I ran out of time last week. I'm actually going to push that to next week. So make sure to tune in session 13. I'll be back live. We'll talk about those two closes that you should use. And trust me, they are valuable. They are important and they are simple, which is the key to all this. And we'll talk about how that is. And the reason why I want to push that to next week is because I think it's important to talk about this hope step before we get into those closes. A lot of times what happens is people want to get into the closes. They want to use this close or that close. They're thinking too much about that part. Whereas in my experience, what happens is if you do the phases of this authentic persuasion pathway, if you do the rapport, the empathy, the trust, now the hope, and then that last step, which we're going to talk about in a few weeks, which is actually the hardest one for most people who are not achieving what they want in sales. But when you do these parts right, especially these first four, what happens is all the standard closes, in my opinion, become much easier or potentially unnecessary because you have done your job as a professional. You don't need to close somebody, right? And again, if we think about the doctor examples that I've used in the past, and that analogy is that does the doctor really have to close you on getting done what you need to get done? Sure, they're going to mention it, but do they really need to close you, right? Hey, if I can show you how to fix your broken leg, is this something you would be interested in doing? Like, they don't need to do that because they see what the pain is. They're going to diagnose, they're going to prescribe, and then they're going to assume and move forward. And so that's what we're going to talk about. That's why I think when you follow this, and what I've seen is that you don't even need to use any heavy-handed closes, any strategies or tactics. It just becomes a different process where you are acting like a professional, and with the speaking and training I do, persuading like a professional, which is the big key that I want you to focus on. So let's dive into hope. So again, we got our authentic persuasion pathway. We're moving around this comfort zone circle of somebody, and we're trying to help them break free of their comfort zone to make a change in their life in some way. And again, I'm going to keep reminding, I'm going to keep saying this, whether you've tuned in now, this is your first time checking out one of these sessions. If so, welcome. Or you've checked out all the ones up to this point, the previous 11, and you are on this path with me together. The key is that we've got this person who wants to buy and they're in their comfort zone. And again, whether it's a consumer or it's an employee at a company or an owner of a company, B2C, B2B, doesn't matter, H to H, human to human is what we're focusing on. That's why these things work universally in effect with anybody you're talking to, because you're fundamentally talking to another human. Doesn't matter what it's about. Doesn't matter what their position is or what you're dealing with or who they are, or what they're dealing with. They're a human, which means they have certain concerns. They have fears, things I've talked about in the first 11 weeks. And they have this place where they are stuck in their comfort zone. Now, why can I say that? Why do I know that for sure? Because if they weren't in their comfort zone, if they weren't stuck, then they wouldn't be afraid of change, which is what I've discussed in the past. And I know that because if they're talking to you and they need help with a considered purchase and they need a consultative salesperson to help them make the right and safest decision for them, then what that means is they haven't decided. They're still in their comfort zone and they're still worried and they're still afraid of change. When you deal with someone who's not afraid of change and not stuck in their comfort zone and willing to make a change, those ones are easy. We've all seen those. We've all dealt with it where literally they come to you and say, what is it that you do? Great. Here's my issue. I want what you have. Here's my credit card. How do I sign up today? Super easy. I was talking to somebody yesterday about the fact that I am a very easy customer. And so was he, the person I was talking to, where like, I know what I want. I know what my issues are in that situation, right? Let's say I want to join a gym and I know I want to join a gym and I know how gyms work. When I go to sign up for a new gym, when I move to a new area, I don't need the tour. I don't need the sales pitch. I don't need all of the stuff, right? Like I want a little tour just so I can become familiar with it, but I don't need the standard demo walkthrough explanation, sit down, let's talk about my health goals. What do I want? Like, I don't need any of that. I already know what I want. It's super easy. How do I sign up? And how am I going to pay for it? And how does this work? That's it, right? So I'm super easy when I know what I want. Now, if I don't know what I want, I need some help and some guidance. But then once it becomes clear, if again, I have a square peg goal and you have a square peg solution, awesome. Let's go. How do I pay for this and move forward? So there's always going to be that small percentage of the people you're dealing with that are easy, right? They know what they want, maybe have some questions, and then it's really order taking. It's really admin. It's really paperwork and process and money collecting at that point. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's great. Those are nice and refreshing and sometimes actually worrying because you're like, wait, that was too easy. What is wrong? If you're used to difficult transactions. And so those are always fun. And that's just a percentage of the population. The challenge is that for most people I see that are acting more like order takers than sales professionals, they're relying on those. They're hoping for those and they are living off of those. But that percentage of the population is never enough to fully sustain your sales career. It'll never be enough to hit your quota. It'll never be enough to hit bonuses and commissions and close more so that you can make more money, which is what's missing. That's why order takers struggle with being successful in sales long-term, maybe even short-term, because they're relying on the easy ones or the Bob Berg advice, which is if I help people, if they know, like, and trust me, that will be enough. And of course, that is not what he says is full advice, but I hear that a lot where people just feel like if I can just get people to trust me or like me or know that I care about them, then they're going to buy from me. And so that's kind of gotten us to this point in the process, right? No, like, and trust. Now we're at the hope step. And I don't mean the hope, your hope, you wanting to hope that they're going to buy. It's you being the purveyor of hope. And that is the key. That's where we are right now, is in the hope step. So why do I call this hope? Because again, you're giving them the path. If you remember weeks ago, I talked about the fact that your job is not as a salesperson, right? It's not as the hero. It's not as the person or the company who's going to come in and fix everything and it's amazing. And then you've got the perfect solution. And once you help them, there's going to be a parade in your honor and confetti from the sky and trophies and awards because you're so amazing as the hero. Absolutely not. Remember, your role, your job is to be the guide. And again, this is an important point, and this is a very important place to put this reminder in here, just so you know, is that everybody thinks of themselves as the hero of the story. We all think we are the center of our own universe, of the universe. We think everything revolves around us. Now, there's people who push that aside. There's people who don't make that a big priority. They don't make it all about themselves all the time. But that amygdala, that survival part of our brain, that primal part always is in that mode of where it's all about us. And that's important, right? Because if we don't make it all about us and we screw up, then we die and the game is over. And then our brain and our body is unhappy. So it's doing what it's doing for a very good reason. A lot of times that's at odds, though, with our society, with our world, with the way things are now in 2021 and how comfortable it is, but our brain is still in like the me, me, me survival mode. Like it's a two-year-old that wants everything because it thinks everything is about it. If you're watching this, probably not a two-year-old, but that part of your brain is still in that mode. It's still in like, this is all about me. When I go somewhere, everything is about me. And the challenge is that everybody thinks that. Or if we assume that everyone thinks that, then everyone is walking around thinking everything is about themselves. And that's kind of what we do. Where this comes into a challenge in sales is when you look at the fact that your customer thinks they are the center of the universe. They think they are the hero of the story, even if they're struggling, even if things in their life are a literal or figurative dumpster fire, and they're coming to you for help, right? And you are potentially going to help them. They still will think that they are the center of the universe and they are the hero of the story, even when everything is on fire. Like, no joke. It's so interesting to watch from the outside. Now, what is it that they want? Well, most salespeople come in and think they are the hero as well because A, they're human, so they think they're the center of the universe, and B, and this is all of us, myself included, and then B, they, whatever they're selling for them, their company or for themselves, whatever that might be, they think that that's the most amazing thing ever. And they think that is the hero, right? Like if I'm selling this program is the hero. It's going to change your life. And this is amazing. And you should be grateful for the honor of dealing with this program, right? And that's the attitude some salespeople have, whether that could be absolutely true. But if you have that attitude, it's now at odds because now what you have is a customer who thinks they're the center of the universe. You have a salesperson in a company who thinks they're the center of the universe, and then there is a clash. And if we look at all the hero's journeys type movies, let's say Star Wars, for example, there's only one hero in that movie. There's a hero, then there's a sidekick, and then there's another guy who thinks he's a hero as well. And he turns out to be Darth Vader because he's a hero, but he's made out to be the bad guy. And depending on how you feel, he's the hero. And maybe he's right. Maybe he's wrong. It doesn't matter. But he thinks he's a hero. Luke thinks he's a hero. Battles ensue. Your job is to be a guide. If you try to be a hero as well, your customer subconsciously, consciously, mentally will label you as Darth Vader because there can't be two heroes in a story. So good. There's the hero and then there's the villain. Those are the things. So you want to be a guide. That's where we get to the step. That's why in setting this up, it's so important to understand that concept because here we are now at the hope step. This is where you tell your prospect, that prospective customer, how they can get up the mountain safely, how they can complete their hero's journey, how they can get out of pain or achieve a goal. And here is where this happens. And it's so important to do it in this process. So remember, we had the rapport. It's about breaking the ice, building the relationship, you know, building that level of warmth. And then you had the empathy, which is the question asking discovery. And the key is to understand and get to know that person, their situation, what they want, what they're going after, and why. One of the biggest things, and I covered this, is you have to know why that person wants or needs what you're selling. Why do they want or need what it is that you're selling? And you need to not finish the empathy step until you have that information. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200. Do not move forward until you know that. And again, I talked about this weeks ago where a lot of people try to rush through that step, the empathy, the question, the discovery, the probing, and they just want to do it as a process and then move forward. The key is spend as much time as it takes to get the answer to that question I just mentioned, right? That is so key. Then you go into trust. Build the foundation of, hey, here's why you can trust us. Here's why we do what we do. And then the hope step is where you bring in the hope, the solution. And it's important to have some powerful transitions in here, which is once you go through your trust step, okay, so that's who we are and how we operate. Now, the next part is I want to share with you what it is that I think would help you out based on what you told me. Something along that framework, right? And if you want help with that, always email me, jason@cutterconsultinggroup.com. I have really good transitions and things like that. That's where most salespeople struggle to effectively move their conversations forward, is in those transitions from segment to segment. me mentioning there's these five parts of the authentic persuasion pathway is good and important, but if you don't know how to move from one to the next effectively, it doesn't matter. It's not going to work. I've seen people try it. It doesn't work unless you know what you're going to say. So email me, jason@cutterconsultinggroup.com. Happy to send that to you. The key is in hope, it two things. One is this is where you talk about your solution. This is where you cover what it is that you provide and what it is that you're selling or wanting someone to sign up for. And then two, how it applies to them. Not generic, not standard, not one size fits all, but how does it help them? How will it help them? How is it important to them? How does it achieve that? Why do they want or need what it is that you're selling? And that's the key. If you go about it with the standard route, which is where you give the same sales pitch, you have the same explanation, you go through the same demo, and you do all the same stuff that you always do, people detect that. They can tell when it's not personalized and custom. When you do that demo or that walkthrough or whatever that is, and it's the same, and it's not about them, and it doesn't even feel customized, or you're sharing things. I see this all the time where salesperson is sharing facts and figures and features and benefits that literally don't apply to that potential customer, just because either they're in love with those features and benefits, or they're just so much on autopilot, they think everyone should care about those features and benefits. When you do that, you make the person feel like you don't care about them as an individual. And they might see it as maybe you're just on autopilot, or might see it as you just see them as a mark, right? A target, somebody you want to close, and their walls are going to stay up. Got to make it about them. Now, what's interesting, if we talk about the features and benefits, one of the things I know is that sometimes there's things that your customers don't know that they don't know, and they don't know that they're going to be excited about, right? So maybe there's this feature or benefit that your product, your solution, your program, your widget does. And you know that people are excited about it, right? You know that once people understand that, they go, oh, that's totally cool. That's great. That's valuable. I think that's going to be amazing. I wasn't even expecting that. And that's awesome, right? Like, I want that. The key is you've got to always set that up, right? And, there's talking about the features and benefits that apply to them. And then you can say, hey, I know this doesn't apply to what you told me. I know that we talked about what it is that you want, but there's a couple of other features that I want to share with you that some people find are really cool. And I thought maybe you'd like these as well, right? Just set it up, meaning I know this doesn't apply to you. Based on what you said, I recognize and acknowledge and respect what you want and what you said. And some of these might be cool. You might like these. And some of you might say, nope, I don't care. Right? That's what I find myself as a customer saying to people when they're going on and on about all this stuff that I don't care about or I don't want to know about. It's like, that doesn't matter to me. I'm not going to use it. I don't get it. I don't care. Whatever it is, right? And so you want to respect that person. You want to acknowledge what it is that they want, what you're doing for them as a professional. And then if you want to get them excited about other things, that's great. Just frame it and set it up in such a way where they know why you're telling them these things. Not you're telling them because you always tell everybody and you want everyone to be excited because you want everyone to love your baby as much as you love your baby, versus I know what you want. We've covered those. By the way, these are also really cool too, just to keep in mind, just FYI. The hope step, it's so important to make sure you focus on the fact that it's all about them, literally all about them. You've got to make every feature, every benefit relative to what it is they said they wanted and why. Why do they want or need what it is that you're selling? And then this is where you answer it. This is where you solve that. This is where you focus on the things that they want and why for them. Not everybody, for them. And I can't say that enough. That is one of the biggest differences, in my opinion, as a sales professional versus a salesperson. And if we look at classic sales, it's all about themselves and their motivation and thinking everyone wants it. A professional, in my opinion, is about solving someone else's problem, helping them achieve a goal and doing it for them and helping them for their reasons, right? So that's the big key. If we think about the doctor analogy once again, and we think about the fact that your doctor is not going to necessarily tell you all these features and benefits of a surgery or a medication or whatever it might be, right? Whatever their prescription is based on your diagnosis, they're not usually going to go on and on about all these ancillary benefits or facts or features or stats or benefits unless it applies to you, unless it's a warning, right? So they've got to warn you about side effects. But other than that, it's like, okay, when you do this surgery, we're going to fix your broken arm, but it might also do this. And also we found like, this is cool too. And this is like, they don't, they just say, hey, I know what it is that I diagnosed. Here is the prescription. Let's go. And if it's important to you, maybe here's some other things too, right? Like I can imagine in scenarios where the doctor says, okay, here's what we're going to treat. Here's what I'm going to do. By the way, if it's important to you, some other things I notice with patients is it also helps with this, this, and this. I don't know if that's going to matter to you. It may or may not, but just know sometimes people experience this, this, and this as positive benefits as well, right? When done right, that's what you can imagine in that conversation. That's what I want you to do. That's what I want you to focus on is that aspect, that part of the conversation in this hope step. And this one is huge. This is so important. If you nail the rapport, the empathy, the trust, and the hope, specifically this one, if you do everything leading up to this point and you nail this hope step, then there's really no reason somebody should completely object to moving forward, right? Like if you've actually given them the right prescription based on the diagnosis you've made for their situation, then maybe there's some logistic stuff. Maybe they don't have the money, or maybe they need to get an agreement from another party, or maybe some other things like that that are more speed bumps than anything else. But fundamentally, nothing should stop you at that point, which is what we're going to talk about next week when we talk about the closes. The other big thing, and this is why this is so important, this process, this procedure, how you handle it, why you do it, the way you do it, even everything leading up to the hope step that you need to know that you have to have in your mind, like in your pocket, ready to go as far as why they need or want what it is that you're selling, is because, and I'm going to talk about it next week. I'm going to talk about two things. One is the two closes that I think are the most important at this phase or in this sales process to focus on. And of course, there's other closes that matter. I don't want to dismiss that, right? But I know that those other ones become less important when you do things in a certain way. But the other part that I'm going to talk about next week too is what I call, and it's in the book, it's chapter 16 in Selling with Authentic Persuasion, which is avoiding the follow-up trap. We all know what that feels like. When you call somebody who seemed like a hot lead, a good prospect, it seemed like they were going to move forward with things. It seemed like they were interested and excited. And then next thing you know, they're gone. I call it the prospect witness protection program. It's like they disappeared off the face of the earth. They changed their phone number, changed their identity, moved to another city or state. And they're literally doing everything they can to avoid talking to you and interacting with you. And there's a couple reasons why that happens. And then there's some important things you can do to help avoid that. Now, you can't always save it. If your pipeline is stuck in the follow-up trap where you're calling people who you should have moved forward or could have moved forward and they're not responding, there's very little you can do to fix the damage that's done, essentially. But moving forward, there's some things you can do to really help avoid that moving forward and make your follow-ups way more powerful. So I'm going to talk about that next week. So I'm going to talk about the closes and avoiding the follow-up trap. If you don't have a copy of Selling with Authentic Persuasion, make sure you can go, couple of options. You can go to jasoncutter.com where you can find the link for buying the book directly from me. I'll sign it, send it to you. Also, I do book clubs for companies where if you run a company or a sales team and you like this information, you think this would be helpful for your team, I have some packages where you can buy the books for your team and then some different coaching options that are included in there depending on the size of the team that you have. Also, you can go to Amazon. You can find Selling with Authentic Persuasion Transform from Order Taker to Quota Breaker on Amazon in hardcover, on Kindle. And if you like listening to me and you are more of an auditory learner, then there is the Audible audio book that's available as well through Amazon. So make sure and check that out. Or if you'd like, you can email me, jason@cutterconsultinggroup.com. I will send you a link where all you have to do is pay for shipping, and then I will send you a book free. If you're listening to this, if you're watching this, if you're If you're absorbing this information and you want to change the way that you do your sales process, email me. I'm happy to send you a copy of the book. It's the least I can do to help with part of my mission, which again, all of those things facilitates the fact that I want to enable and encourage over 1 million authentic persuaders in the world, because that will change the way that people sell and will trickle down and change the way people buy and what they expect from a salesperson and who they want to buy from. And then the last thing, I am launching this soon. So make sure you email me, jason@cutterconsultinggroup.com, or you can go to jasoncutter.com and find the link on there as well. But I'm launching the Authentic Persuasion Private Group Coaching Program soon. It is a $50 a month group coaching, weekly meeting, hot seat coaching. So this isn't about lectures, this isn't about training, this isn't about webinars. This is about you and everyone in the group bringing questions, challenges, things that you're struggling with in sales, and giving feedback, other people sharing their experiences. And it's about learning how to sell. And so not just theoretical stuff. These sessions are fun. I love doing this. Even if I'm just speaking to the camera myself and there's not an audience here, this is super fun for me, but it's general and it's not specific to you. So a lot of times what I see is people say, but what do I say when somebody says this? I sell this and then I get this objection. How do I handle that? If that's you and you want help closing more deals, go to jasoncutter.com and click on the link for joining the pre-enrollment list. Or you can email me, jason@cutterconsultinggroup.com, and just mention private group coaching, and then I'll send you the link for that so you can join the list as we go to launch it. And so that's it for this week. I appreciate that. Thanks for tuning in. If you know anyone in sales, please share this with them. And keep in mind, there's a lot of people who are solopreneurs, business owners, running sales teams, in a sales team, direct marketing, whatever that looks like. Pretty much everyone is in some level of sales. So please share this, like it, subscribe, turn on notifications, join the podcast, join the movement, be a part of this and help me get the word out there so we can make over 1 million authentic persuaders. Thank you for tuning in. I appreciate you being here. Thanks for joining the session. Even though pre-recorded, I miss all of you. I miss the chats interaction. I'm excited to check those out once I get back. Next week, I will be back live. That's it for this. Hope you have a great weekend. That's it for the replay of the Authentic Persuasion weekly live training session. Again, make sure to catch them live Fridays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific. You can go to jasoncutter.com to sign up so you can get alerts, put it on your calendar and have the links for when it goes live. And you can always email me, jason@cutterconsultinggroup.com, and I can get you the information to sign up, as well as let me know any questions that you have, topics you want me to cover, or guides that you may be looking for. Thanks for tuning into the Authentic Persuasion Show. If you found value in this episode, please do two things. Subscribe so you can get each new episode and share this episode with anyone else you know in sales. Together, we can help shift the way sales is done. And if you want to find out more information about how to transform your sales career, or you want help with shifting your sales team from order takers to quota breakers, go to jasoncutter.com. Don't forget that everything in life is sales, and I will catch you on the next episode of the Authentic Persuasion Show.